week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. African football has faced more than a few age fraud cases over the years. In 1989, Nigeria's youth national teams were banned by FIFA, the sport's international governing body, for fielding overage players in FIFA-organized youth tournaments. The birth dates of three Nigerian players at the 1988 Olympics were different than the ones used by those players' previous tournaments. FIFA's ban lasted for 2 years, and Nigeria was also stripped of its right to host the 1991 FIFA World Youth Championship. More recently, in January 2023, 32 Cameroonian players on the country's under-17 team failed MRI age testing in the build-up to qualification matches for the 2023 Under-17 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Algeria. And now, South Sudan has been disqualified from the Under-17 AFCON in Algeria for age cheating. Dengai Deng reports from Bor, South Sudan.
The Confederation of African Football, or CAF, announced that it had disqualified the South Sudan Under-17 national team from Africa Cup of Nations or AFCON U-17 competition in Algeria because five players failed the magnetic resonance imaging or MRI test. MRI is a medical imaging technique that uses a magnetic field and computer-generated radio waves to create detailed images of the organs and tissues in your body. Since 2009, MRI testing has been used by FIFA to determine whether players are overage or not. According to the CAF regulations, if four or more players are found ineligible, the participating team is disqualified. Alvino Kwekdeng is the spokesperson of the South Sudan Football Association, or SSFA. Kwek said South Sudan had done its own MRI test 5 days earlier and confirmed that all players met the age eligibility criteria established by the competition's regulations. Quake says two of these players had previously passed the MRI eligibility test in Ethiopia during the zonal qualifiers in September 2022.
In fact, we appeal against the results to question why the two tests do not go together. The medical committee say they don't rerun the test. Their first and the second reading remain the same. One of our objections was that two out of these five players were among the boys who have participated during the qualifiers in Ethiopia. And they were tested by CAF. And based on the regulation of CAF, they say any player that was tested during the qualifier and passed the test has a right to participate in the AFCON Under-17. And if the team qualifies for the World Cup, the players continue the same way.
Another football fan, Abraham Ajukwal, says the coach and the leaders of the South Sudan football governing body did very little to avoid to determine the age of players for the Under-17 team.
Having heard the news of Under-17 South Sudan national team to be disqualified is sad news for the whole nation, because this is the only window the South Sudanese are looking to achieve peace. And yet it has been brought down by, I believe it would have been the wrong job done by the coaching staff or the management of the team. It was a great joy for all of us, for our team to qualify for the first time.
Quake says South Sudan Football Association is facing challenges of determining the exact ages some of the players in the Under-17 team.
Most of our parents do not issue birth certificates to their children on the day of the birth. So most of the things are age assessment. And so there is no way the Federation can know age assessment, a true age of the player, from maybe from the look of the face, you know, from the facial expression. From it's very difficult if the parent. So we are also calling upon the parent to cooperate and make sure they provide this legal document to their children. But it helps. It helps so much in, you know, recording a proper age of the kid.
The junior bright stars left Juba for Algeria on April 24, 2023 to participate in AFCON U-17. The team had been placed in Group C of the AFCON alongside Cameroon, Burkina Faso and Mali. The under-17 tournament kicked off in Algeria on Saturday, April 29. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng.
Thanks, Deng. Now let's go to Cairo, Egypt, where Nile Conference games are continuing this week in the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, 2022 BAL finalist Petro de Luanda of Angola looks like a title contender, having won all three of its games in Cairo by big margins. Aziz Bello is the secretary of the Nigerian basketball club Kwara Falcons, who were eliminated in March in Senegal in their BAL debut. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Aziz said he's tipping Petro to lift the trophy this year.
I think I have a strong opinion on Petro de Luanda. They have a very strong team. They've not lost any match. And they have always been around the finals over the past couple of years. Then I'm also tipping Al Ahly of Egypt. They are the host team, and they are also doing well. Then between the team from Mozambique and Uganda, Cape Town Tigers, yes, they are not really there. You know, basketball in South Africa is just coming up. So I think those are the four teams I'm seeking for to make the finals in Rwanda.
Your team, Kwara Falcons, participated in the Sahara Conference, played in Senegal. And from the games of the Nile Conference you've watched so far, do you think they will be as competitive as that of the Sahara Conference?
I think the competitiveness in the Nile Conference is not as what we have seen in the Sahara Conference. All the teams in the Sahara, if you remember very well, five teams in the Sahara Conference finished on the same point. That means teams were beating one another. Even my team that lost all the matches, they lost narrowly 3 points, 5 points, 6 points, unlike what we are witnessing in the Nile Conference, where teams are being blown out 20 points, 30 points. So the competitiveness in the Sahara Conference is far, far higher than what we are witnessing in the Nile Conference. I think the teams in the Sahara Conference match one another evenly. But in the Nile Conference, there is a big gap between some teams and the others.
When the BAL playoff eventually begins in Kigali, Rwanda, which teams are you tipping? I know it's too early to predict, but which teams are you tipping to square off and then make it to the finals or play in the final? Which of the conferences, Sahara or Nile Conference?
I'm tipping Petro de Luanda to win the championship. In the last two editions, they have made it to the finals. They lost to Zamalek of Egypt in the first edition in the semifinals, and they lost in the finals to U.S. Monastir of Tunisia in the last edition. Now, U.S. Monastir is no more there. Zamalek of Egypt is no more there. I think Petro de Luanda is the most experienced in this cup of teams that have made it to the final. So I'm tipping them to win this year's BAL. And they've really done very good recruitment for this edition of BAL.
Season 4 of the Men's Basketball Africa League will take place next year. Your team, Kwara Falcons, made its debut at the Sahara Conference. What plans do you have to qualify again and to represent Nigeria at the season 4 of the Basketball Africa League?
Yes, I think you are very on point on that. Our team went to the BAL. It was the first time Kwara Falcons will fly out of the country and play on the continent. So inexperience was part of our team's poor performance. But now we have gained a little bit of experience from the first edition. Coming back home, we are set machinery in motion to make sure that we have the best crop of players locally to prosecute the local league, because you know we need to win the local league before we'll be able to qualify for the championship. Nobody tipped us to win the last year's edition of the MVPN Final 8, but right now I know every focus will be on us, and we too will not let our fans down. We are already making sure we are recruiting the best legs locally so that we'll be able to win and go for the next edition of BAL.
That's Aziz Bello, secretary, Kwara Falcons Basketball Club. And Aziz spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Ilorin, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Aziz Bello, secretary, Kwara Falcons Basketball Club of Ilorin, Kwara State, Nigeria. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Aziz. And thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as other past episodes, and check out other VOA programs and lots more information at voaafrica.com. The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. In NBA playoff action Monday night, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Denver Nuggets both scored victories. Philadelphia won on the road, beating the Boston Celtics 119-115. Philly now leads that second round series 1-0. And out west in the Rocky Mountains, the Denver Nuggets defeated the Phoenix Suns 97-87. The Nuggets lead that second round series 2-0. We'll start first in Boston, where the AP's Gethin Coolbaugh tells us about a veteran star for Philadelphia who came up big against the Celtics.
James Harden hit a go-ahead three-pointer with 8.4 seconds left, and the shorthanded Philadelphia 76ers stole the opener of their second-round series on the road with a 119-115 Game 1 win over the Celtics. With Sixers star center Joel Embiid sidelined with a right knee sprain, Harden matched his playoff career high with 45 points.
We didn't come in the game expecting to lose. You know what I mean? Like, we are here to win. And even after this game, I told guys, don't get too happy. Like, we even kill.
Celtics star Jason Tatum scored 26 of his team-high 39 points in the first half.
I think they were just in a rhythm throughout the whole game. And, you know, I don't think our pressure intensity was necessarily as high as it probably should have been to start. And throughout the course of the game, they hit shots and the game started going and it was in a good rhythm.
Gethin Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. From Boston, let's go to Denver, Colorado, where the Denver Nuggets defeated the Phoenix Suns. The AP's Bruce Morton reports.
The Nuggets are up 2-0 after beating Phoenix 97-87. Nikola Jokic asserted his will with 39 points and 16 rebounds and said his team is not getting overconfident.
We just go there and play. It wasn't something that was we were extra aggressive, extra pumped up, extra, but I think we were just I think we were just normal.
In the final quarter, the Nuggets held the Suns to 14 points and 0 of 9 from beyond the arc. Game 3 is Friday night in Phoenix. Bruce Morton, Denver.
Thanks, Bruce. We heard from Nikola Jokic in Bruce's report. Jokic is bidding for his third consecutive NBA Most Valuable Player Award. The NBA will announce the winner of the MVP prize later Tuesday night. The two other finalists are Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers and Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis, like Jokic, already has won the MVP award twice. Can Jokic win a third consecutive MVP award? Or will Joel Embiid win his first? We'll find out later Tuesday night. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa. This week marks the 30th anniversary of World Press Freedom Day. We'll discuss the multiple crises that threaten press freedom around the world. Join me, Heidi Adams, for an in-depth analysis of freedom of the press in Africa on the next Straight Talk Africa.
In English Premier League football Monday, Leicester City and visiting Everton drew 2-2. The Nigerian Alex Iwobi scored the equalizer for Everton in the 54th minute. Iwobi converted a right-footed shot from the center of the box to the bottom left corner. Final score from the King Power Stadium, Leicester City 2, Everton 2. Both teams are fighting to avoid relegation as the Premier League season winds down. Everton is currently in the relegation zone in 19th place in the 20-team league with 29 points. And Leicester City is in 16th place with 30 points. The Premier League spotlight is on London later Tuesday night when Arsenal plays host to Chelsea. The Gunners of Arsenal are 1 point behind first place Manchester City, but Man City has a game in hand. The Blues of Chelsea are currently in 12th place with 39 points. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. One of the fastest growing sports among women in East Africa is cricket. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Magume Davis Rakawinge tells us more from Kampala, Uganda.
Janet Mbabazi, the female cricketer.
Yes.
A very good shot there from Giselle. Gives herself enough room.
Again, in the air.
Victoria Pearls, the Uganda women national cricket team, engaged the United Arab Emirates counterparts in a cricket game in regional tournament, Victoria Series, at Rugogo Cricket Oval in Kampala. The game ended with the eventual tournament winners, Uganda Pearls, winning by 6 wickets after a series of victories against neighbors, Tanzania and Rwanda, and a wastaway match against Kenya. Uganda team captain Konse Aweko says she's delighted her team won the tournament. She says tournaments like this help players to become much better.
I believe we've learned a lot. Cricket itself in Uganda has developed, and many children are going to school because of cricket. They're giving bursaries to school children. People are getting some people like us, we get the exposure to travel and represent our country, which is an honor to any other person out there. Any other person in the sports fraternity would love to be on that team, to wear your national jersey, wear that bird, the Ugandan bird on your chest to go and represent your country. So it has been quite a nice journey. We've experienced a lot of travels. We have traveled around Africa, out of Africa, Asia. I've been to Europe just because of cricket.
Joining the game some 13 years back, Aweko says she's grateful to have found some senior women cricket players who guided her through the game. Uganda Pulse first played the international match less than 20 years ago against neighbors Kenya in 2006 and was granted Women 2020 Sellies by International Cricket Association in 2018. Ayoko says he's glad the game of cricket among women is on steady growth in the country. She says she's pleased that the game of cricket offers same opportunities just like for their male counterparts.
We play the same tournaments. There is a girls' schools week, there is a boys' schools week. They give them equipment, they give us equipment. The same coaches are given in different schools. When it comes to officials, they give the same officials. Like, it's more of equality. When the men have contracts, even us women, we have contracts. So I don't think that there is a lot of challenge that can affect a girl child in cricket, more or less in Uganda here, because I believe everything they do is about equality.
One member of the Kenya Cricket Board tells us how she started the game of cricket as a young girl.
My name is Berry Loyugi. I'm an ex-Kenya Cricket International and now a Cricket Kenya Board member. I began playing cricket in 2003 when still in high school. When we began playing cricket, first of all, as women, we could not play hardball. And being in high school also, we could not play hardball cricket. So we began with softball cricket. For about 3, 4, 5 years, that's when I began playing hardball. So I can say right now the game has advanced away from that. You find kids in primary school and high school starting cricket with hardball, and that helps them develop their game really fast. So for us, it was a slow incline to be inducted into the hardball game.
Oyoge went on to play 13 years for her national team. Sarah Uwela plays for the Rwanda national cricket team, where has been playing cricket for 10 years. She says it was actually easy for her mastering the game.
Cricket is a nice sport. It's somehow addictive, and it has many chances. I mean, because the first year that I represented my country is the same year that I started playing. So it has many chances, and it's a sport that is growing very fast in the country.
She's grateful for the support she gets from her fans, in particular, her number one fans, her family.
They also didn't know the sport before I started playing it, but they ended up liking it because they support me, and they see that it gave me some discipline. Like, when you're a professional player, a professional sports, you gain some discipline with the sport and also out of the sport.
Rwanda Women National Cricket Team first played against Uganda in 2007. The country annually hosts the T20 Series Kwibuka Tournament, bringing members from East Africa, Namibia and Nigeria. It is played in remembrance of the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi. Uwera is grateful she's represented her country both regional and international meets, such as the Nigerian Invitation in 2019, where Rwanda played against host Nigeria in Abuja, losing by 9 runs. Leonard Nambulo has been the head coach for the Rwanda National Women Cricket Team since 2021. Nambulo says he's pleased with the performance of his girls in the just concluded Victoria Series tournament.
With the performance that this team is putting up in the past 2 years, it shows that there is something right that is being done to make sure that the team is competitive enough to win important games, and also the structures that we did put in place in terms of selecting the good players that we've got. I think those are some of the things that we've done well. I mean, look, we're beating a team that are highly ranked above you, team like Kenya, team like Tanzania in this tournament. I think that is something that is good for us, and it's something that even motivates the ladies as well to know that they are no longer a small team again anymore in terms of the game of cricket, which means anytime from now we can even beat any team that can come out. Even if you look at the performance that we've showed against Uganda, even against UAE, it shows that now whatever that we are doing, we are closing the gap between the bigger teams and us.
Rwanda defeated Kenya and Tanzania and put up a satisfactory performance against host Uganda and UAE to finish respective fourth position, the same 4 points as UAE and Tanzania, and just one position above Kenya. Namburo says parents should support their daughters just like they do for their sons to play the game of cricket. He says women in South Africa have the ability to dominate the sport globally. Michael Grace Ndiko, who coaches both men and women cricket in East Africa agrees.
With women's cricket, you have to be a little bit more considerate. You have to know what each individual player desires or wants to have. Not that you become personal, but you make sure that you are taking care of each individual's concerns and interests. Unlike the men's game where you tend to just group them up and it's okay with them. So that's a major challenge, first and foremost. So it means you have to improve your interpersonal skills between yourself and the entire players and the, say, management team. You have to make sure that you take care of that. The girls are really playing some very good cricket, especially evidenced with this most recent tournament. It has been a very wonderful exhibition of cricket, a show of talent and commitment, discipline, showing that really cricket as a sport in East Africa, especially for women, has grown in leaps and bounds.
Perisi Zakayo plays with the Tanzania women team. She's also riding support for women cricket in the region.
People are thinking that cricket is for men only, but it's not. We women, we can play it. Women will have a large chance than men's. You can see there's a high and big challenge to men cricket, especially in choosing the player to present the country. But in women's, it's not that tough.
There is less competition.
Less competition.
Both players and officials say, with improved infrastructure, the game of cricket in the region will just blossom. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Ogume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala.
Hello, listeners. My name is Perisi Zakayo. I am a cricket player from Tanzania. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Encounter. Next up, part two of the conflict in Sudan. We speak with two former U.S. ambassadors about the roots of the conflict, impediments to a democratic transition, and ramifications if a peaceful outcome is not found, including an instability for Sudan and the entire region. Part two of The Perils and Promise of Sudan, next this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I mentioned earlier how the National Basketball Association's most valuable player for this season will be announced later Tuesday night. The three finalists are Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets, Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers, and Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, the MVP award is the last in a series of annual prizes handed out by the NBA. Let's take a quick look at the league's other award winners for 2023. The Defensive Player of the Year Award went to Jaren Jackson Jr. of the Memphis Grizzlies. The Sixth Man of the Year Award, given to the NBA's top reserve player, went to Malcolm Brogdon of the Boston Celtics. The Clutch Player of the Year Award went to De'Aaron Fox, a point guard for the Sacramento Kings. Now, that award goes to the player who best comes through for his teammates in the clutch or in pressure moments. The NBA's Most Improved Player Award went to Lauri Markkanen of the Utah Jazz. Markkanen is from Finland. And yes, I do love his nickname, The Finisher. The NBA's Rookie of the Year Award went to Paolo Banchero of the Orlando Magic. And the NBA's Coach of the Year Award went to Mike Brown of the Sacramento Kings. Our Sunny Side of Sports listeners will remember Coach Brown was briefly in charge of Nigeria's national men's team, the Tigers. And that wraps up the May 2nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.